Hi, I'm Bill Corcoran Jr., and I'm your host for the On the Stacks podcast.
Today, I'm chatting with Maria Traino, owner of Inspired Studio.
What's up, podcast? Episode 10 of the virtual On the Stacks podcast. Welcome, Maria. How are you?
I'm fantastic. I didn't know I was double digits.
Yeah, you know, we're on episode 10. It's like crazy even saying that like I'm 10 weeks into this, and I still got people listening. I don't know how, but
congratulations.
Yeah, thanks.
So milestone.
Yeah, double digits. Yeah.
I'm congratulations.
Myself.
I am too. You're an inspiration, Bill.
Thank you. I appreciate it. So before we get, you know, talking a little bit about your business Inspired Studio, tell me a little bit about your background. I think I may have read a little bit about you that I think your family business is in the restaurant industry. Am I right about that? And, I think you worked there, and why didn't you follow that path? Why did you get into doing what you're doing?
Ah, so many questions all wrapped up into one. So yeah, I grew up in a family restaurant business, and my dad is third generation. It's an Italian-American restaurant, and it's in a small town, and it is in every fiber of my being. I mean, small business is in every fiber of my being, hard work ethic, that Italian family structure, all of it. And our lives really were dedicated to the business, and because it was part of our lives, you know, we learned so much. I started peeling vegetables and washing dishes at like 6 years old. And you learn so much just from being in that space, which I'm sure you understand being in a family business as well. And it's kind of hard to imagine life without that. So I obviously am a creative person, and that was always part of who I was. And so I just loved art. I loved design, and I wanted to find a way to do that and make money, obviously. So I went to school for communication design, and I loved it. I loved it. And while I was in school, my favorite professor, and she was also my advisor, she looked at me one day and she was like, "Maria, you are so good at branding."
Give her a shout out. Who's the professor?
Elaine Kunfer.
Okay.
Calling her out. I love her so much. I hope she finds this someday. She was my favorite. She's like, "Maria, you are so good at brand design, but not maybe so good at advertising." And that little seed, like, she has just like said it in passing, probably one of my critiques. And that little seed got planted, and I kind of never let it go. So when I graduated from college, I landed in the Scranton area, and the first job I got was at an ad agency. And I thought, this is it. This is amazing. I get to, like, you know, do all the big dreams of the ad agency world, you know? Yep. And I hated it, Bill. I hated it.
Why?
I hated it so much. The pressure, the stress that it brought out in people, the tension, I don't know. There was just something really negative about it to me. And I never, even in college, like, I never really got behind the idea to like think about like Pepsi, right? It always bothered me that they were putting out a product that was very unhealthy for people. But yet, how, as an advertiser, could I get behind that and promote something that was unhealthy for people, right? And so it really bothered me. And I couldn't just, the money wasn't enough. You know what I mean? The idea and dream of money and commissions and all that just wasn't enough. It didn't feel good. So I quit after 3 months, and I wanted to go back to school. I was like, I'm going to be an art teacher because I can teach kids. It'll be fun. I could be creative. And I actually started shadowing art teachers. And then I got lucky enough to have a family member who worked at the Scranton Times. And she gave me an opportunity to be an intern after I had graduated, after I had had like a real job. Uh-huh. And meanwhile, I had worked like all through college. I had real jobs at a promotional company, you know, doing screen printing stuff. Like, I had jobs the whole time. So anyway, I was like, whatever, I'll take the internship. And I fell in love with design again. And I fell in love with visual storytelling. And I fell in love with the idea that graphic design could support a message, and that graphic design could make a message whole and complete and capture attention, because, you know, words are boring to look at, but if you create that visual around it, man, you can make an impact. And I fell in love with design again. Fast forward a little bit, I'm still in the Scranton area, and the only like design opportunities at the time for me were ad agencies, and I just didn't love it. So I found a job in 2008 when the market crashed and I thought I was going to get laid off from the Times. I found a job at Hospice of the Sacred Heart, and I loved it. I loved it because it was so meaningful and so powerful, and I could see firsthand the impact it had on so many families, like on such a deep level.
What did you do then?
What did I do? I did design for them.
Okay.
And I also did marketing. So I got to go on the road and go to doctor's offices and nursing homes and senior centers and do bingo and really talk to people. And that's where I learned that selling is not really selling. It's just having a conversation with somebody. And you're not selling for the sake of selling. You're selling to help someone, to communicate something that helps someone. So I really fell in love with that. But then again, as time went on, I'm a creative. You can't put me in a box. I don't live in like the same color palette. I don't operate with the same things all the time. I get really, I just don't. So after that, I quit. I just straight up quit because I went through a challenging situation in my personal life in my late 20s. And I thought to myself, I kind of hate everything in my life right now. I hate everything. I had become someone that I didn't love. I did everything I thought I was supposed to do, and I wasn't happy. And the only glimmer that I saw, the only little trickle of light, were my freelance clients. I loved them because even though I was doing little jobs here and there at the time, postcards and, you know, little things, I got a glimpse into the world of entrepreneurs, and I got a glimpse into the world of extremely passionate people and people who had grit and people who made shit happen, you know, like kind of against all odds. They were, you know, the scrappy entrepreneurs. And it reminded me of my parents, and it reminded me of my past, and it reminded me that I have a gift that can help those entrepreneurs do what they love, you know, mm-hmm. keep the impact going that they started. So that's how it all began. And I decided I didn't want to I didn't want to be seen as a freelancer. I wanted to be seen as a business owner. So I created an LLC, and that's when it all started.
I was just going to say, so is that when Inspired Studio was formed?
Yes, that's when it was born.
What year was this?
2012. I quit in September. The paperwork was done by like April of 2013.
Very cool. So let's talk a little bit about Inspired Studio. What do you do?
What do we do at Inspired? So it started out catering to those early in business, scrappy entrepreneurs and nonprofit organizations, believe it or not. I feel like their missions are so strong and they're so passionate. And then as time evolves, I mean, businesses evolve with the business owner. So I really focused on having a short client list and giving them my all. And then it just built from there. I mean, I specialized at the time in graphic design, but then it just escalated from there. Just escalated. So one service got added and then another service. And I don't do things just to say I do them. I don't just say like, oh, we do web design and photography and videography, da, 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 because I'm not an ad agency. I focus one-on-one on my clients, and whatever they need, I figure out. And I figure it out in a way that keeps branding and brand management and brand strength at the core. So whatever their goals are, it doesn't matter to me if I'm making a commission on selling a TV spot, I'm not going to push that if it's not going to help them reach their goals. And that's what I love about not being an ad agency.
Yeah, it sounds like you're really passionate about what you do. And on your LinkedIn, it says you build strong brands through strategic plan, design, and marketing.
Yes.
I know that's, you know, the answer is probably really long-winded, but, you know, take me through it a little bit.
So I believe that, well, okay. So in Inspired Studio, we help businesses, organizations, and even entrepreneurs create strong brands through high-end design and strategic marketing. So like I said before, we meet with our clients, we find out their goals, we learn as much as we can about their business, their industry, their competition. We take a deep dive look. We ask a lot of questions. We learn so much about their business that we could probably run it if we had to. And then from there, we help them develop their goals, and then we help them bring them to life. So with that, I don't know. I don't know how to explain it more than that. But so as we've scaled, our clients have scaled to be bigger. Like I have a client that has 30 bank chains, like a chain of 30 banks. Okay. All the way down to like a single little nonprofit organization, you know, that is funded by grant money and donations. So as things have scaled, I've kind of lost touch with those gritty, passionate entrepreneurs, because early on in your business, you don't have deep pockets most of the time, and you are scrappy and you are wearing a lot of hats. And I miss working with those people. And over the past like 2 years, they kept coming to me. Maria, I need a logo. And I say, okay. And I'd get in there and I'd be so excited because I love these people and I'd hear everything and I'd go for it. And then they'd be like, but I only have $200. And it would kill me because I'd have to say like, I'm sorry, but logo design takes 20 hours, you know? There's a lot of research that goes into this. There's a lot of time invested. There's a big process behind this. I can't afford to do it for $200. Mm-hmm. And they can't afford to hire me for more than $200. So it just didn't work out. And that's okay. That's okay. But for me in my heart, it wasn't. So I wanted to find a way that I could still help these people in a way that they could afford, in a way that I could afford, in a way that just helped everybody. And I decided to teach people the first part of my logo design strategy, which is all the questions. They don't need me to ask them the questions. They just need the questions. So if I could teach them that and they could put all that on paper, and if they can do that soul searching on their own, then once it comes time to hire a designer or to hire a copywriter or to hire even an employee for your business, they would have the answers to every foundational element of their brand. And so I created a digital course around that.
That's great. So I think, you know, within the last couple of years or so, I think you kind of sort of rebranded yourself a little bit. The name Inspired Studio, I think, is somewhat newer. Is there significance behind the name? Where did the name come from?
I had a lot of names when I first started out. But when you become an LLC, you have to make sure no one else has the name. So I wanted to just be Inspired Design, I think, originally. And I filed the paperwork and then they came back and said, no, it can't be. You need to change the name. So I added Studio at the end because I didn't know what else to do. Fast forward, I just didn't feel like me. I just felt clunky. And like I said, like my business expanded beyond design. I was consulting, I was writing, I was offering a lot of services. And I thought design really pigeonholes the business and doesn't allow us to shine in the way that we deserve. Also, at the time, I had the idea to hire a full-time employee because we had scaled. And I thought, what's going to really help me empower an employee to get behind the business that I have in mind? So it took a lot of soul searching for me to kind of define my brand and to define my purpose and my mission statement and my vision statement. So I had to go through the same process that I put all my clients through. And so I decided to take design out of the name. I looked and Inspired Studio was available and I thought, I'm going to go for it. And at the time I redesigned our logo too. And that came to me. It was like a vision. I was like in the shower, like, isn't that where all the good ideas happen?
Always. Yeah.
I was in the shower and I had so many ideas, like, and this had been bothering me. Like, it's so hard to brand yourself. So I was thinking about it and I'm like, it just kept coming back to me, but I never actually did it. It just kept coming back to me. What if you stacked all the letters on top of each other? What shape would it make? And I'm like, no, that's such a dumb idea. And then like, it just kept resurfacing in my mind. And I'm like, you know what? The only way I'm going to stop thinking about this is if I do it. So I got an illustrator and I drew like just basic lines. And I'm like, INSPIRED. And I stacked them up. I'm like, huh, it's simple. It's multifaceted. It is strong. It's different. It means something. It's attractive to men and women because a lot of my clients they're both. It's really 50-50. And I thought, this is really cool. I like it. So that's what I went with, that square shape.
So kind of along the lines of branding, let's maybe talk a little bit about branding. What is branding?
Branding is the entire experience one has with your business. It is the personality behind it. It's the feelings behind it. It's not just your logo. It's not just your website. It's not just a sign. It's not just the shirts you wear. It's not just your architecture, your interior design. It's everything. It's infused into every nuance of your business. I believe your business is your brand. Your brand is your business. And I also believe, like small businesses, the entrepreneur is the business. So I think that you can create a really strong brand by truly reflecting that entrepreneur and truly reflecting that mission, you know, if you're a nonprofit.
What's been one of your greatest successes? You don't have to name any specific name or client if you don't want to, and that's totally okay. But, you know, could you give me maybe an example of a client that you've worked with that you've had some great success? They've been successful because they've worked with you in any shape or form.
I would say, like, the thing I'm most proud of is the longevity of the majority of my clients. I still have clients who have been with me since I started freelancing in 2003, 2004.
Oh, wow.
They're still with me. And some of them have grown so much. Like, there's a nonprofit in Montrose that actually had to create a second branch of the nonprofit because they went from serving the community to literally serving the entire state, serving all banks in the entire state. Like, it's things like that. And it was just like the vision of one man. And it's this huge, massive thing that is like impacting communities across the state. And like this chain of banks, when I first started working with them, they had 14 and they've doubled. Like, wow. It's, so I think that's what I'm most proud of.
Yeah, definitely. It definitely has a lot to say about your business and what you do for these companies. I mean, for these people to stick around with you for 17 years or even 10 years or, you know, whatever. I mean, that's impressive. So congrats on that.
Thank you. Thank you. It means a lot to me. They mean a lot to me.
Definitely. Yeah. You know, one other thing you mentioned before we connected on the podcast is this, you know, something else that you've started, betterbrand.biz.
Mm-hmm.
What is that?
That's where you can learn about my digital course.
What's the digital course? I think you mentioned it earlier.
Yeah.
I didn't want to ask right then. So I want to touch on it a little bit now.
No, that's okay. So this is the course that I created for anyone really, but I think people like makers and creators, hairdressers and contractors, the people who started their business because they have a talent and they have a gift and they have something to share with the world and they just want to do more of it. But maybe they don't love marketing themselves because they don't know how, or because it's hard, or because it's time consuming, or because it's confusing. So, like I said, I want to help those people create the foundational elements of a very strong brand. And that's what this course is about. There's five lessons, and also a welcome video and an example video, but it's all video based. And then there's a lot of worksheets that go into it. So the first lesson is about uncovering your why and defining your purpose. The second one is carving out your own little niche in the marketplace and defining that. The third lesson is about identifying your ideal audiences. And you might want to take that lesson a couple times if you have multiple ideal audiences. So for instance, some businesses sell to businesses and consumers. So in that case, they would have two very different ideal audiences. And then in the fourth lesson, we talk about emotions. And what I mean by that is the business's personality is one half of that, but then also how they want their customers to feel when they interact with their brand. So they define that. And then in the final lesson, we take all that information and we create a unique selling proposition, because I believe that right there is the foundation of a strong brand. From that USP springboard, there comes marketing messaging, design visuals, marketing strategy, copywriting, so many things come. Oh, employee, like any internal benefits. It all springs from that unique selling proposition. So I help companies define that.
Does it come with a $200 logo design?
No.
Kidding.
But for your viewers, I can create a coupon code or something and get them some kind of discount or bonus. We can come up with a plan for that.
Yeah. So what does someone need to do? I mean, could someone just go to betterbrand.biz and request more information, sign up? Like, are you limiting it? Like, what's the deal here?
I actually was going to close the cart today, but I changed my mind. We are in a quarantine and a lot of people's funds have stopped coming in, and I created this to help people. I don't want to shut people out. So I'm going to give it a little bit of time and just go with the flow. Sometimes that's the best strategy, right? Go
with the flow. Yeah. Why not? You never know what could happen.
Yeah. So I'm just rolling with it, but we do have some people who enrolled, and there's a private Facebook group that goes with it. And I'm going to be there doing live trainings on each of the lessons so that people could jump in live, ask the questions that they have. And I'm hoping just to be there right along the whole way and help people get through it.
Is that the Facebook group I'm part of?
No, there's a private different one when you purchase the course.
Oh, yeah, okay.
Private.
Well, I have to compliment you on the group that I'm part of. You post some videos on there. I think some are live maybe and some aren't.
Yeah.
But either way, I gotta give you props for putting that content out there, because for a lot of people, not a lot of people can do that, and especially doing something live. I've never gone live.
It was a big step for me. And like, I'm an extrovert and this quarantine is bringing out weird things in me. So
yeah.
I never would have done that. I never would have probably forced myself to do it, but you know what? I believe in this. And also, like, I have to walk the walk. I have been giving my clients advice to go on live, be on Facebook. Consistency is everything. You need to create custom content. You need to shine your light.
What, did someone call you out?
Yes. Yes. One of my clients took my advice and he's killing it on Facebook Lives. Killing it. His social media has blown up.
That's awesome.
It's awesome. And then I was like, you know what? And he said to me once, he's like, Maria, it's your turn. And I'm like, no, I'm not ready. But then I was like, you know what? I just have to do it. I just have to.
That's great.
No, so how else can I tell people to do something if I don't do it myself?
Yeah, exactly. We talked about this a little before we started, but so I got to ask, was it who gave you the nickname Inspired Maria?
Oh, we're going to give a plug to Jenny Heatro.
Was it? Okay.
Yeah. Jenny Heatro gave me the name Inspired Maria. We had a funny way of meeting, but we did. And we clicked right off the bat, and she became a client when she was a marketing director. And I stayed with that company for about 3 years. I actually still work with the company, and then she left and went on her own, and works part-time now, but we're friends. And now I have her on my payroll sometimes. It's really great. We can collaborate in a different way.
Yeah, no, it's really cool. I've known Jenny for a number of years too. And, like I said, every time, you know, when her and I catch up every now and again and you come up in conversation, she just refers to you as Inspired Maria. And,
yeah,
you know, before I didn't even have to ask who she meant. I just knew it was you.
Yeah.
So that's, I figured that I wasn't sure if it was actually her that came up with it, but I'm glad I asked the question. So she got a little shout out here.
Well, it's funny because I did name my business Inspired because I'm just so inspired by people, right? Like without my clients, I'm nothing.
Yeah.
Without them, I'm literally nothing. So that's kind of how I feel. Like my identity is helping people and helping them shine. And, but sometimes, like somewhere, somehow along the way, I realized I had it within me to inspire other people. And it's never really been something that felt comfortable, or felt, like real, because I've always kind of been behind the scenes. But now I'm trying to embrace that. And I think a little bit of that has to do with Jenny.
Yeah. Yeah. And like I said, back to you and posting those live videos and posting that content on on Facebook. I mean, it really, you may not realize it, because probably not a lot of people speak up about it, but I think a lot of people probably are inspired by it. And like I said, I give you kudos and props for doing it, because like I said, I mean, you know, like even me, I gotta admit, like, I don't think I've ever gone live, and I don't know. I don't know if I could do it, you know? So
I tried it and I was scared. And then I was like, you know what? I'm made for this.
Yeah, no, it's great. So keep putting out the content.
I'm going to try. It's hard. It's hard.
So back to branding a little bit. I think you probably know I'm going to ask you this next question, but what advice could you give me on branding, you know, my personal brand and or the On the Stacks brand?
I would say just consistency. I mean, infuse yourself into every piece of it and kind of amplify the nuances, because, you know, there's only one you. There's only one you. There's only one you that cares about what you're talking about. There's only one you that has the life experience that you have. There's only one you that has the business experience that you have, the personal connections that you have, all of it. There's only one you, and there only ever will be one you.
And no one can impersonate these Stacks. I mean,
no, I mean, many can try.
Yeah. Good luck.
Many can clone and in face or in Photoshop, but
yeah.
Can never duplicate. But seriously, I think take a hard look at yourself and figure out what, like, who is Bill Corcoran Jr.? And then just amplify that and infuse it into every nuance with confidence, with consistency. And it's okay if you change over time, because people do. It's okay if you shift and pivot and move and elevate, because we're all here to elevate. So that's something else that I really want to talk about. And I didn't even know I wanted to talk about it, but I want to talk about it right now.
Go ahead.
Because this is something I struggle with and struggled with it my whole life. Perfectionism. Okay. So as a designer for someone else, I am OCD to the extreme. When I put something out, I want to make sure it is perfect, because that's what they're paying for. They're paying for perfection, as perfect as I can physically, humanly do. But when it comes to creating for yourself, there is no perfect. You'll never reach perfect. There's no best, right? There's only like 70% is good enough. So my advice to people is, when you're creating your website or when you're creating your logo or when you're creating anything, like, get it to 70% and launch that shit, because if you wait for perfect, you'll never do it. If you wait to feel comfortable, you'll never do it. If you wait for someone to tell you to do it, you'll never do it. So that's my advice. F perfectionism, unless you're doing something for somebody else, then better make sure it's damn perfect. But if you're doing something for yourself, then just like roll with 70%. Done is better than perfect.
Yeah, no, I totally agree with you. And, you know, this whole On the Stacks thing, like, I wasn't even really the one who even came up with the name. It was like all these people that originally, I don't know if you even know the story, but like how this whole thing started. And back when people started asking me, like, can I come sit on the stacks? And I'm like, what are you talking about? Like, people were messaging me. This was like a year and a half ago at this point. And people started using the word stacks, which, by the way, like, they're just pallets of paper. Like, never in my life in the printing business have we called, you know, the pallets of paper stacks. It wasn't until this whole thing started before the podcast that people started saying, like, can I come jump on the stacks? And then the word on the stacks just came out. So, like, I can't even really take credit for the name. It was a couple different people that, you know, all kind of started using that name. And I just went with it. And
keep going started, with it.
Just started putting content out and, you know, stopped really caring about what people thought. And, I was kind of also one who, like, I didn't really want to put out content unless I thought it was, like, really, really good or really perfect or, you know, not flawless. But I just said, you know, whatever. People like it and people want to be part of it. And people are saying, like, can I do it? So I'm like, yeah, sure, whatever. And that's it. And now we're here on the podcast. 10 episodes in.
10 in. Double digits. I'm super bummed I can't go sit on them.
Well, you know, when this whole social distancing thing is up, you'll have to come in. I'm sure you've probably seen pictures of the studio that I've created. Like, I've literally created like a legit studio. And I have an awesome table that was gifted to me by Charlie Consagra. So shout out to Charlie for making me this table. He refused to take a penny from me, which was like totally cool. I was just looking for a secondhand table. And he hooked me up with an awesome table that, you know, I needed. And Jim Broda, who was, I think, episode 3, who owns a Rebinax appliance in Kingston, he gifted me a mini fridge, which is like perfect because it's like filled with beer for my guests. So it's
That's
like,
awesome.
You got to come visit once this whole thing's up for sure.
Yeah, definitely. I'll bring the beer.
Okay. What are you bringing?
Oh God. You know what I love?
What?
My husband laughs every time. Bud Heavy.
Really?
Yeah.
All right. Well, hey, whatever.
I'm bringing Budweiser.
That's fine. It'll get drank.
I am not.
We don't discriminate.
I am not bougie.
That's all right. But
I think that just goes to show that, like, if you shine your light truthfully, like, you're going to impact people and you're going to give them permission, silent permission to do the same. And isn't that what we're all here to do? Just like be better, do better, shine our light, like elevate. Like, this is what we're here to do. And I think by hiding behind perfection, by hiding behind
maybe the brand
that isn't truthful to you, you're doing people a disservice.
Yeah, you're selling yourself short. You really are. Mm-hmm.
You're kind of like stealing from some other people. You're stealing what they should have because you're made to do great things. So don't live small.
Yeah, definitely.
That's advice to take.
Yeah. Well, I'm really looking forward to those Bud Heavies in the studio sometime soon. But I think we've only got a few minutes left here. Time really flew by here. But before we wrap it up, I mean, how can someone, you know, listening right now, how can someone learn more about you? Website, social media, how can someone get in touch with you?
Yeah, so if they're interested in learning more about Inspired Studio, that's inspiredstudio.biz. You can email me at maria@inspiredstudio.biz. We are on Instagram, Facebook, and LinkedIn. You can find out more about the course at betterbrand.biz and a little bit more about me at mariatrano.com.
Excellent. Anything else that you want our listeners to know before we call it quits here?
I don't think so. Just keep on keeping on. Stay inspiring. That's what I want them to know. Stay inspiring.
And keep drinking the Bud.
Keep drinking that Bud Heavy.
All right. Well, I think
leave some for me.
Yeah, me too. All right. Well, I think that wraps it up for us today. Maria Trano, owner of Inspired Studio, episode 10 of another virtual On the Stacks podcast. Thank you for joining me, Maria.
Thank you so much, Bill.
If you'd like to learn more about the On the Stacks podcast, be sure to search the hashtag On the Stacks on Instagram, Facebook, and LinkedIn. If you enjoyed this podcast, please subscribe and leave a review. We'll catch you next time on The Stacks.